Your own microphone. Okay, folks, don't be shy. Here he is. All right, right up front.
Mr. Kirshner, I would just like to ask you, as a filmmaker, what are your thoughts on the revised special edition? Particularly the idea that I think Empire is the one with the least amount of changes.
He's talking about this idea out there that there have been changes made to Empire Strikes Back, and he wants to know how you feel about that.
I don't know what these changes are. I saw the special edition, and there were two slight changes which I was a part of. One of them was the addition of a snow monster, and the other one was an opening up of a city windows and a walk through Cloud City. The only thing that was done to Empire was the color was enhanced, the sound was enhanced, the technology was better, and I have not seen the DVD, but I'm sure that it's even better. But the story hasn't been changed, the editing hasn't been changed, it's what I ended up doing as a director. That was my film.
Okay. Who else? Right over here.
Empire Strikes Back, I think, is considered, well, I consider it the best out of all of them. I think a lot of people feel the same way, and I'm wondering why you feel, if people do feel that about that picture. What is it about that film that's so special?
I've been asked that all over the world. I did not think of it as science fiction ever. To me, it was a fable, it was a fairy tale. And all the research I did was for fairy tales. I read, of course, Campbell, I read Jung, I read Freud, I read Adler, I even read Einstein to try to understand a little bit of what he was saying, because he was a great philosopher. And of course, I'm very familiar with Zen Buddhist concepts. To me, it's a hobby, it's not a religion, it's a hobby. I collect Buddhas, you see. Well, I stressed the fairy tale aspect. I stressed the characterization. I try to put as much humor as possible in it. I chose a cameraman that I've always wanted to work with, Peter Chuchitsky, and he designed the lighting so it was not naturalistic ever, but had a tonality of its own. I had a big problem with the second edition, and when we worked on the story, I realized it was a second act of a three-act play. Now, the second act is usually the slower act. It's usually the one that does not have a big climax. You have a little bit of a climax in the first act, and then in the third act, you have a huge climax. Well, I didn't have that, you see. Mine was an advertisement for the third act. And I was aware of it. I had to start off my film with the biggest scene in the film, the snow scenes. Well, this is a hell of a way to start a film. I mean, with your biggest action scene in the beginning. But I was more interested in the psychology of the characters. And I think that is what affects the people. I wanted kids to love it, but I also wanted adults to find levels of meaning. There are many metaphoric concepts in it, many things that are symbolic. I thought of myself as if I was living under communist Russia, and where the writers and filmmakers always made two films, one for the censor and one for the audience, who would understand what they were saying. And this is what I tried to do with the film. Maybe that's the reason. They also love Yoda.
Okay, hang on. Please raise your hand, okay? And I'll get to you. Let's go right here.
Empire Strikes Back is frequently described in the press as, at least among critics who have enjoyed it, is very, very dark, the darkest of the three pictures. Do you agree with that assessment?
He was asking that a lot of people out there feel that Empire is one of the darkest of the three movies, that it has a dark feeling to it. Do you agree with that assessment?
It is a low-key film compared to Star Wars and Jedi. By low-key, the lighting is low-key in many places. The story is low-key. After all, the hero, Han Solo, one of the heroes, ends up being a frozen blob of carbon. I mean, how dark can you get? And the film ends with him still somewhere in limbo. I mean, this is very peculiar. That's why I try to put as much humor as possible into the relationships. The humor and the darkness, I felt, went together. They offset each other. But when you're building character and there's so much at stake as there is in the film, I mean, the Empire is going to destroy these poor people. You've got the father-son relationship, which is very Freudian. You have all kinds of dark things, and so I wanted humor. And I feel that we got the humor, and the humor maybe is for the adults, not for the kids. I think they get it much more. But yes, it is a darker film, because I was going for an adult and a children's audience. In fact, I'll tell you an interesting thing. As I traveled around the world and people came to me and talked about Empire, whenever I talked to little kids, like 6, 7, 8 even, they say, Darth Vader's not really his father, is he? When they get to be about 9, 10 and on, they accept it. Go do something.
Okay, right here.
I remember when the film came out, there was quite a bit made of Yoda. There had never really been any character like that. Can you talk about the challenges of directing scenes with puppetry?
When the film came out, everyone liked Yoda, as you had said, and that was a character that not many people had seen before, and because it was puppet-based, how did you feel directing Frank and the puppets and all that kind of thing?
I tell you, I was hoping that it would work. I had never seen on film a puppet that was supposed to be a live character. And that's what made it so difficult. Because after all, it is a puppet, and it had to be live. I asked when we built it that it could look like it ate, that it could climb. It was all fake though. But the reason why the scenes worked with Yoda was because of Luke Skywalker. He's the one who made Yoda work. And his job was especially difficult. You see, the scenes were shot on two levels. There was a stage level with all the trees and the rocks. And about 5 feet below that was Frank Oz and his puppeteers all pulling little strings and little things and watching TV of what the camera was seeing up above. And Luke, I mean, he could not hear what Yoda was saying. So therefore, we did rehearsal after rehearsal where he was given an earpiece and he was rehearsing with Frank Oz, who was below the floorboards. And he'd listen, and they get the rhythm right, and then take out the earpiece, shoot the scene. I'm looking for a Jedi Knight. Well, what am I wasting my time here? You see, he got the pauses quite accurately, and he acted it. He was acting to a mute puppet. Pretty hard to do. And he did it. And he did it magnificently. He worked very, very hard. And Yoda's philosophy, of course, is quite simplistic. If you get angry, you're going to lose. don't try, do. You know, if you try, it implies failure. Well, I'll try, meaning I expect to fail, but maybe I won't. No, he has basic philosophy, which is really charming, not very profound, although young people consider it profound. I wish they could read more, and it wouldn't be so profound.
Okay, let's go over to your audience. He's not raising his hand, so we'll go right there. We've got time for two more questions, so right here.
I was wondering, a lot of people consider Empire the best directed of the films. Were you asked to come back for Return of the Jedi, and if you were, why did you decide to do it?
Many people feel that the best directed of the Star Wars films was Empire, and he wants to know whether you were ever asked to come back and direct Jedi.
I sort of recall some little conversations about it, but it was not serious. First of all, it took me 2 years and 9 months to do the film. It took me almost a year to do the storyboards in London. It was a very, very complete set of storyboards that told the whole film and became two books. One book remained with George in California, and one book we had in Norway and London. The idea of doing another almost 3 years, I don't think I would have liked it. I had my own films I wanted to do. And it wouldn't work. And I felt that George wanted to move in his direction. Now, he had this big fight with the Directors Guild, and so he vowed never to use another American director. Well, that was a shame. I think it was an unfortunate situation with the Directors Guild. I got caught in the middle of it. But I was happy to do Empire, and that was a complete experience for me. That took quite a long time. I took just about every bit of energy I had. And of course, when a picture's finished, it looks so simple. It looks, well, doesn't everybody make a film like this? No, because everybody doesn't have George Lucas, who created something unique. And he's the best producer I've ever had, because he said, keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't change, keep going. Most producers are telling you, let's cut 6 pages out. We'll save some time. Or, why don't you do it this way? Never had that from George. I really felt totally free, which was our understanding in the beginning. And it looks simple, but there's always a big story behind every film.
Okay, one more question here. Phil.
Had you ever dealt with a film that had any such a special effects challenge? Because obviously Empire was very intensive. Was there anything prior to that that prepared you to handle that?
Empire was very special effects intensive, and had you had any experience prior to that to prepare you for that film?
Oh, that's a good question. No. Absolutely no. I had never really been a fan of science fiction pictures up to that time. Now I kind of like them. I like the fantasy element. When I spoke to George about the film, I said, George, I know nothing about special effects. He said, good. He says, you design the scenes the way you want to see them, and we will make it work, meaning ILM will make the things work. What I didn't do on the set, they would do in, remember, we had no CGI. It was not yet a digital virtual reality time. Everything was done the hard way. We built 64 sets, they were huge. We had to pull people around on ropes and chains, and acrobats had to do jumps out of windows, and we had all kinds of stuff to do, but that was on the set. That's pretty easy. But when it comes to some of the special effects, It was very difficult. It was done against blue screen. It was done with the most modern technology at the time, which has been so far surpassed now. But I knew nothing about special effects. And I got an education. And by the end of the film, I felt that I could do any special effect film. And it was a wonderful learning experience, and I thank George for that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Irvin Kershner.